many things I've wondered and many things I've thought. Many things I've pondered and many things I've sought. Many things I've tried to hide and many times I've kind of lied. Still so many things to try before we say goodbye. So I'll pour myself another glass of wine.
So what's up?
Well, I'm no longer having ointment on my dog apps.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. His ass is improving very well, yes.
Oh, that's good.
Right now he's laying on the couch next to me. He's on his dog blanket, which I think he's gotten kind of used to. I think he likes it.
Hmm.
So he's laying here. Uh-oh, he got some... Uh-oh, somebody just got email. It was me.
Uh-oh.
He actually got some steak fat.
Uh-oh.
Had steak at my parents' house for lunch, and so...
So is he going to smell later?
Probably.
But he'll be a happy dog.
He is such a happy dog. He and Flashy got to share some steak fat and some gristle. And they are very happy dogs. Then he got a little bread with steak juice on it. So... Happy dogs. I got my paper written.
Oh, yeah? What was this paper on?
This was supposed to be on lighting. Mm-hmm. Lighting was the general concept, and I wrote it on the lighting at Citizen Kane.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a whole lot easier to write a paper on lighting when it's a black and white movie. Because with a black and white movie, there's no color. So really, the tone and the lighting really make the movie. So. Mm-hmm.
I still haven't seen that since we talked about it. I have seen Citizen Kane, but it's been years, and I wasn't really paying close attention to the sorts of things that you're paying attention to, which, of course, I mean, I wouldn't, because I haven't taken a film class, and that's just not how I do film. But,
right. That's not how you roll.
Maybe there are some things I could check out. Maybe I could get you to explain to me some of the things you have been thinking about and writing about.
In the movie? Oh, cool, yeah. Do you want me to send... I could send those to you, or I could tell them now.
You could tell them now, if you like.
Well, I hope that nobody in my class is listening to this, because, you know, then you're going to steal my ideas, and I'm going to look like a cheater. But... Oh, goodness. I really just kind of focused on the shadows across Kane's face,
mm-hmm.
and the shadows he casts across other people. And how they kind of represent his influence and him getting his way. And then there was something else. Oh, sometimes the shadows make a person less significant. You know, it kind of lets you know a person's role in the film.
Mm-hmm.
The best example is there's a reporter who is given the assignment to figure out what Charles Foster Kane's last word, Rosebud, means.
Uh-huh.
And when we meet him, we can barely see his face because he's in a movie theater. And throughout the film, we never really get a good look at his face. Towards the end, we kind of do.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, because it's supposed to be like, well, don't really pay attention to this guy. He's not important. You mm-hmm. know, he's just, you know.
Hmm.
So.
Well, so speaking of movies, I saw Hotel Rwanda last night.
How was that?
Oh, it's really... It's a movie everybody should see. It's really intense and... You know, it's not a movie you can watch and then do something really light and fluffy after. I mean, you have to have some time to process it. So, you know, definitely make some time for it in your schedule if you watch it. But it's a movie that I think everyone in this country and probably everyone in the so-called first world should see.
Well, you know that Paul, what was his name, Ruga Basanga?
Sabina something. Or something like that.
Right. He came and spoke at the university.
Oh, did he?
I don't remember why I didn't go.
Rusa Sabagina or something, I think?
I'm not sure. I just know it's one of those neat African names.
It's a very cool name. That's great that he came and spoke at the university.
Yep. Yes, he did.
I would love to hear him.
We've had him and the dude from A Beautiful Mind.
Oh, yeah?
Which I actually got to see. This is the cool part. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I'm trying to... Anyway. The guy from A Beautiful Mind came for several days, actually, and we got invited to... we got invited to see A Beautiful Mind, a reception, and a screening of A Beautiful Mind, and watched it actually in the theater with the guy that the movie was about.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really cool, and he told us, they had a Q&A with him afterwards, and he said it was the first time he had seen the movie from beginning to end, you know, as the director intended it. So he was there, his wife was there, who does not look like Jennifer Connelly, but then he does not look like Russell Crowe. And
I'm picturing Russell Crowe sitting in the theater with you,
trying to fight us all. Anyway, so that was neat. He answered a lot of questions about it. He apparently, you know, this was sponsored by the Department of Psychology.
Oh yeah.
So they were focusing on his mental illness. And his recovery from, well, it's not really a recovery because he's schizophrenic. It's more of a management.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know what I mean. What am I talking about? But
could you explain that to me, please?
Right. Yes, Dr. Gay. I can. But he apparently also, because he is a Nobel Prize winner in economics, he also spoke at the school, the Graduate School of Management.
I could see how he would be attractive to invite to your university, because you can kind of kill at least two birds with one stone.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So.
So what else is going on this Thanksgiving weekend?
Well, we're having a crafty night potluck.
Oh, fun.
In a couple hours. I don't know what I'm bringing. I think I'm just going to stop at the grocery store and maybe look for, like, a big cookie or something.
Oh, yeah.
I love the big cookie. You know this.
Big cookies are great.
Well, let me tell you, I am right now DVRing Hotel Rwanda. That's why I've been kind of talking slow, because I'm trying to find Hotel Rwanda, which is, like, 50 years long, it looks like. Rusabagina. I can't pronounce that fast. So
that's awesome that you can just go to your DVR and find it and set it up to record, or
it's ready to go. Yeah, whenever it airs. I didn't even see when it was supposed to air, but
Man, I want the DVR.
It's nice. It's just so helpful, because I don't watch TV live anymore, and I can't watch TV live anymore because I want to fast forward through commercials. And I can't.
Doesn't that suck?
Having to go.
Like, because I had DVR back in the day, and it really spoils your ass.
It does spoil my ass. It spoiled Denny's ass.
That's what's going on with Denny.
He had to get his ass lanced. And, anyway. No,
but that's an unusual side effect.
Yes. They don't mention that when you go to the cable company to pick up your DVR, or pick up your TiVo, for that matter, because it's the same process. You know, it can spoil your dog's ass.
And speaking of side effects, I've actually, I did a little exercise on Friday. I did some cardio on the elliptical downstairs. And then Saturday, I started noticing my left hip was sore. When I would move it in certain ways, it would be, you know, particularly uncomfortable. And then last night I woke up, and it hurt every which way I turned it, and it was really, really severe pain. So I got up and took some ibuprofen, and I looked up the Accutane side effects again, and sure enough, that is one of the side effects that can happen.
Really?
Is joint pain. And so I'm 2 to 3 weeks away from my end date for Accutane.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to not take it today. I'm not going to take it tomorrow. And I'm going to call the doctor and just see if, you know, if they think I could just go ahead and stop now. Because, you know, I don't want to have any kind of messed up joint thing.
Right. No, you don't.
That persists beyond Accutane especially. So what I'm doing is, you know, taking it easy, not doing any exercise till the pain goes away, and not taking Accutane.
Well,
so hopefully that'll clear up.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
And you can always decline. I was going to ask you about Accutane.
Sure.
I'm not going to ask you, you know, I mean, I'm going to ask you, when you take Accutane, I know that when I was there last year.
Yes.
Why am I so stuttery all of a sudden today? I just can't talk. Anyway, so last year when you started it, there is a whole program.
Right.
It goes with it, correct?
That is correct.
It is. It's like a risk management program, because, and I know one of the things, one of the only things I know about it is with women, you have to go in for monthly pregnancy tests,
right?
To verify that you are not pregnant while you're taking the drug, because it's that dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting that there's so many prescriptions that you're not supposed to take if you're pregnant, but they aren't managed.
Right.
Quite as well as that. Do you mind talking about the risk management program behind it?
Not at all.
I think it's very interesting because it's one of those, you just have to weigh the benefits with the risks. And
yeah.
It's got a great benefit, but also some pretty scary risks that
Some definite risks. And I actually ran into a side effect that was more gastrointestinal in nature last year. When I first tried Accutane, and I decided, you know, this isn't worth it. But then I thought about it some more, and actually my acne got worse on my, you know, parts of my body where I have acne. And I decided, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and do this. And it's interesting how, like, you know, we make decisions about risk. And, you know, how I, in particular, went ahead and decided to go ahead and do it. And I'm pleased that I did it, because my acne is cleared. And I'm very happy with that. But, you know, looking over the side effects, potential side effects last night or early this morning when my hip pain woke me up, I thought, you know, I really signed on to something, you know, pretty risky here. I mean, comparatively so. Not risky in terms of, you know, it was likely that these side effects would develop, but that there were so many potentially negative side effects that could develop. And
right.
And so far, the hip pain is the worst I've had, and it's in response to some probably more vigorous than usual exercise.
Right.
But in retrospect, I don't know what decision I would make again. I can tell you that I would not go back on Accutane.
Really?
Next time if my acne flares up again, I'm not going to go back on Accutane.
Okay.
Because I don't like the dry skin. I don't like my lips peeling all over the place.
Right.
I don't like dandruff. And I certainly don't like hip pain. The management program for females is more rigorous than for males. And females, you know, the real risk is that they'll get pregnant and then have a baby with severe birth defects, or have to make a decision about what they're going to do about a pregnancy, you know, putting them in a really difficult position depending on how you feel about abortion and that sort of thing.
Right.
But it's really dangerous. And I think the rate of birth defects for children born to women who were on Accutane is extremely high.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're pretty much, it almost seems like you're pretty much assured that your baby's going to have severe birth defects if it survives, if you're on Accutane. So you have to use two types of birth control.
Dang.
You know, even dispensing the drug to a male, to me, I can only get a 30-day supply. I have to carry around a little card with me, like a little credit card size card with a code on it for the pharmacist. And then the pharmacist can't fill it unless my doctor has entered me into the national network on the computer.
Oh, my gosh.
And I only have a 7-day window to pick up the medication. If I'm going to, you know, if I come late, even after it's filled, even after the code was entered, I don't get it. I have to wait until the next month. Which totally, of course, screws up your Accutane treatment.
Right.
There might be a way around that. There might be something you could do, go to the doctor and get that fixed. You know, maybe they can get you in the system again. But, yeah, it's really tight. And I was even thinking this morning, if I don't take any more of the Accutane I have, how am I going to dispose of it in a way that, you know, is responsible? I don't know that you just throw this drug away.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if people go through the trash and take medication they find either, but...
Right.
You know, being a sort of extra careful person, I like to think anyway, I'm kind of wondering what I'm going to do about that.
And it's not a drug that can be, there's no recreational use for it either.
No, there's not at all.
The danger of, I mean, there are people who do go through people's trash and will take anything they find. Mm-hmm. But it's less risky than, say, if you threw out some old Vicodins.
Right. Which, I don't know. I mean, I definitely see that. But then I also know that when I was in school, when I was in, like, junior high, I think it was, mm-hmm. One of my teacher's hood ornaments got stolen off her Chrysler.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, so that's not quite a Mercedes, but, you know, it's got, like, the five spokes right. rather than the three. But apparently not everybody knows that. So, you know, I mean, we're assuming that the person out there who's going through the garbage and taking medication knows what is, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. potentially fun and what's not. And, you know, it could be some pregnant woman looking for a fix and she starts just taking whatever. So, so anything could happen, so I want to be careful.
You know, the thing is you would think with such an extensive risk management program that they would have some kind of way of disposing of leftover medications.
Yeah.
You think that would be, I mean, honest, I would think that would be included in the program.
Yeah, and it might be. I haven't asked about it. The last time I was on Accutane, they told me to keep it and not throw it away, but for the reason, or at least the reason they gave me was so that I could take it again if I restarted it in the future, which I did, and so I had extra Accutane.
Oh.
So that issue didn't get addressed before. Yeah, it should be, actually, it should come in like a self-destructive container. And you push a button and then you run away, head for the hills, and then it blows up.
Just in the field and, yeah. Well, that's interesting, because it's pretty well managed,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm. It is. I don't know any other medication that is that carefully managed.
Now, you were like...
Oh, you're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, balls! How about now? Am I still okay? What about now?
Now's better.
Balls!
Yeah, there we go.
I'm watching Tennessee women's basketball versus MTSU.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the Blue Raiders are beating Lady Vols, which is funny.
Wow, that's... yeah.
Well, they just showed Pat Summitt, who is the coach of the Lady Vols, which mm-hmm. you may or may not remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I know because we graduated from the same university, Pat Summitt and I.
Mm-hmm.
And
I guess I didn't know she went to Martin.
Yeah. Oh, God, they love her there. But they just showed her a minute ago, and she was smiling.
Oh, wow, that's unusual.
I've not seen Pat Summitt smile other than in a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so
wow.
Enough of that.
I actually watched the first episode of Transgeneration last night.
Isn't it good?
It's so good. Oh, my God. I love Racy.
I cannot believe how gorgeous Racy is.
Racy is gorgeous.
Racy has a MySpace profile.
Oh, really?
Actually, all four of the Transgeneration kids have MySpace profiles.
Yeah. Is Racy someone who is on your friends list?
No, I haven't added any of them because I thought, you know, these are just people from television. Mm-hmm. And one of them, I won't say which one of them it is. One of the TG people, did you hear me shorten that? I just said TG.
That's so fabulous.
Oh, one of them says, I don't accept friend requests from just anybody.
Oh.
You know.
Is that the one at the Seven Sisters school?
No.
Really? Okay, that's the one I would have guessed. No, oh, is no. it the is it the one from out of the country?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I knew it had to be one of the two.
And I don't know if, does your DVD, does it have the follow-up that they did a year later?
Well, I'm only, you know, with Netflix, you only get one at a time, and so I only have episodes right. 1 through 6.
That's all there were, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
I thought there were only 6 episodes.
Oh, okay.
There
weren't
very many.
Maybe that is it. And I haven't looked yet to see whether they have the follow-up.
It's,
don't spoil it for me.
I'm not. It's very interesting. I mean, the whole series is incredibly interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I learned so much about, I mean, I learned a lot. I learned some from, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Southern Comfort, which I would highly recommend you put on your Netflix list.
I have not seen that.
You really should. It'll make you cry.
Down.
It will break your fucking heart.
Oh.
It really will. I was just like, oh my gosh. So I learned a little bit from that, but I think I learned more from Transgeneration. Lucas is kind of hot.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Lucas is pretty good looking.
Yeah, Lucas is.
And and we have similar names. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yes, I did notice that, actually. I did.
So, anyway.
Yeah, no. I think it's just terribly interesting to see how these, you know, these folks came to their decisions and starting to see them in their process. And, mm-hmm. and they're kind of, I mean, they're not starting their process. They're you know, into their process of transitioning.
They're at different levels, and really.
Different, yeah, they're at different places.
Because Lucas is pretty early.
Lucas is pretty, yeah.
It seems to me. And I think that TJ's maybe a little further, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get into a point where Lucas goes a little further than TJ does.
Oh, okay.
You know? So I don't want to spoil it for you, but I'm really interested to hear when you watch the other episodes.
Uh-huh.
I'm really interested to hear what you think, and you know, so we could discuss this maybe on future podcasts.
Absolutely.
I know that there is one character you won't be so crazy about later on.
Oh.
Yeah, it's interesting how one character. These are real people. It's a character. So anyway.
Well, and I think it was it Lucas who talks in the first episode about starting hormones, and
yes,
and they talk about one of the effects of starting hormones, and I had no idea that that happened. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
What was that? Remind me.
Well, it's
growing a penis.
Basically, yeah, you grow a penis.
Right.
And I didn't know that was possible. That's amazing to me.
Well, it's not like a full on.
Well, right.
You
I
know,
mean, yeah.
Dong, but
it sounds like it can operate as one.
Right.
That's incredible. It's incredible.
It is. It's very interesting.
The one my heart went out, well, I guess my heart went out to Racy somewhat because Racy is facing so many obstacles.
Oh yeah.
And I'm afraid for her in some ways because she could just sort of be flirting with disaster at points.
Yeah.
And but then I feel really bad for Gabby.
Oh gosh.
My heart really started to go out to her last night.
But, yeah, the thing that really annoyed me about the show
mm-hmm.
was every time Racy talks,
mm-hmm.
they subtitle.
Yeah, it's absolutely, yeah.
And that was really unnerving because I'm like, I have no problem understanding what Racy's saying. I'm, you know, fully able to understand what she is saying, but they still, you know...
Yeah, every line. I mean, and occasionally it was helpful, but I didn't need it every time, right?
Right.
It was distracting.
It really was. But it's very interesting. I'm very excited for you to watch the rest and let me know what you think.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You've got a lot ahead of you, young man.
Mm.
I was looking at your I was looking at your Netflix list.
Oh, okay.
And I saw that you've got Project One Way.
One Way.
I say it like Heidi Klum. I'm Project One Way. You've got Project One Way Season 1 on your list.
Yes.
Up soon.
Once I finish up Season 2.
Yeah, and then...
I hope I didn't get those out of order. I'll have to check.
I don't know. But either way, you're...
I'm cool. Watching it in completely the wrong order, but...
That's all right.
I know most about Season 1, so I'm putting it off, so maybe I'll forget.
Right. And then there was a Flavor of Love marathon on today.
Oh.
It was Season 1.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So crazy, huh?
I'm not
crazy,
as into
eh?
Crazy. I kind of I don't know. I'm a little bit over Flavor of Love and
yeah, it's easy to.
Yeah.
It's so easy to be over Flavor of Love.
And I've had such... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
You said it's such
a awful show. I mean,
yeah. I have been watching a little bit of Beauty and the Geek on MTV,
really?
Which has been mildly entertaining.
I watched a couple of episodes, I think, last weekend,
uh-huh.
maybe, or one day this week, I can't remember,
uh-huh.
and I just wasn't into it. I think if they did something, I guess this is my female perspective, if there was something opposite, you know, where it was unattractive women
mm-hmm.
and gorgeous men, that show wouldn't fly
for
a second, because... That doesn't happen in American society. And I'm not making a generalization about your gender, but I'm about to say something. It sounds like I'm generalizing. Men are more visually operational. Am I correct? Than females. You're more visually stimulated. I mean, I'm just thinking when you look at, and this may be more of a heterosexual male thing, mm-hmm. so I may mm-hmm. be getting different perspective, but I mean, when you look at heterosexual male porn, and even, I guess, to a point, gay male porn,
mm-hmm.
It's pictures, it's mm-hmm. images, mm-hmm. you know? When you look at women's, or porn directed at women, it's stories, books, you know? So, I just think that in American society, it's not unheard of for a beautiful woman to be with a less attractive man,
mm-hmm.
or a less conventionally attractive man, I should say, you know, because mm-hmm. I've got tastes that are crazy, but that's not uncommon, because I think women can get past, you know, but I think it is very rare that you will see a very handsome man with a homely female.
Hmm.
And that's sad.
Hmm.
Whatever, you know.
Kind of along those lines, I watched an episode of Deal or No Deal on Thursday night.
I hate that show.
It's really bad, but one of the things that I noticed, and actually that Aubrey pointed out, because we were watching it together, was that every time a contestant comes up, the models are women. They're females. And, like, even when a contestant is a female,
right.
there are these sort of buxom models. And yeah. Aubrey made the comment that, you know, really for them, it would be more appropriate to have, you know, hunks up there.
Right.
And I can see how that just wouldn't fly in American society.
I don't know. I mean, speaking as a female who is into males, I don't know. I guess it's just traditionally on game shows, I'm used to seeing buxom females. And I would feel, if I was on a game show, more comfortable with
buxom females
handing me $1 million, you know?
Really?
I don't know. It's just, I guess it's because, I don't know. I don't know why it is.
Hmm.
Let's not get into that. Because I don't know why.
Well, and really, I just wanted to look at some hunks, but...
Oh, well, there's nothing wrong with that. At least you're honest about it. You know, I just don't like it because it's a dumb game show. I mean, there's no strategy behind it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, okay, are you going to take what you got now, or are you going to pick something else? Okay, are you going to take what this guy's offering you? I mean, it's just, there's no strategy. It's not even like, let's make a deal where you've got multiple things to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people dress in fancy costumes.
Right, and that was... pretty fun, actually. I've watched a couple of those episodes on the Retro Game Show Network a few years ago, and I thought it was cute. This really has nothing to it.
Mm-hmm. I catch it occasionally, like right before something else is on.
Mm-hmm.
It's on NBC, right? Or is it on ABC? I can't remember.
Oh, I have such a hard time differentiating. It's on some network. I don't know.
Right. So I think it comes on like right before some show I watch or.
Oh, it's NBC something. Because ER came on right after.
Okay.
And that's NBC, isn't it?
ER is NBC.
Okay, so that was NBC.
Because that's the network of Friends, your favorite program on the television.
Yes, I can't get enough.
You just think Jennifer Aniston's so pretty.
Oh, she's so hot.
You know, that Phoebe is so witty.
She really is.
No, anyway, that's enough of that. That's quite enough of that.
Quite.
So did you know they just released The Kids in the Hall, the entire series, on DVD?
I did not.
They've been for the last few years releasing the seasons
mm-hmm.
over the years, but now they have released a box set that has every single episode.
Oh, wow. I'll have to put that on my Netflix.
Man, that show stands up. You know, it's good. I think good comedy that will last, mm-hmm. you know, has this timeless quality about it. And that's the thing, is that there's nothing really time-specific in the Kids in the Hall's comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a couple of things. And, you know, I think as certain boundaries in society are kind of not broken, because they never really... But, you know,
mm-hmm.
they strip away some of the boundaries in society, it becomes less relevant. But I think it still is. You know, I mean, it's a 17-year-old show.
It isn't.
And it's still very relevant. And, I mean, the other day I was watching some of the videotapes I recorded in high school, uh-huh. or in college, when I recorded TV all the time. And I was watching that show, The State, the comedy show that used to be on MTV.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember it or not.
I remember the name. I never watched it.
No, it was very funny, and I thought, well, this is right up there, you know. It's not date specific. It doesn't have an expiration date on it.
Uh-huh.
You know, which Saturday Night Live definitely.
Yeah.
It's very of the moment. And I mean, the thing about Saturday Night Live is it's been on for 31 years, no, 30 mm-hmm. years.
Or, yeah, about
I think
that.
They just started their 31st season. You can watch Saturday Night Live and get a sense of what society was like at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And somewhat so. With Kids in the Hall, I mean.
Yeah.
But you're right, not as much. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Like, the Kathy, the secretaries. I mean, that's just as, I watched that and it's just as funny today as it was then.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I want to see two things, and mm-hmm. I can't find them on YouTube. One of them being Buddy.
Uh-huh.
I just really love the Buddy sketches. Uh-huh. And then I also want to see the Indian woman, Scott Thompson as an Indian woman.
I have that on, I think that's on season one.
Oh, it's so good. He goes to the market and
yes.
It's just really good.
And haggles. And then his father dies. And oh, I just spoiled it. I just spoiled it for all our listeners out there.
We're going to rush out and put this on their Netflix or buy the box set.
Now I know how it ends. I don't want to see that sketch. It ruined the whole series for me, man. Well, there's a really funny sketch on the first season DVDs that I don't remember being on the air because I watched it on Comedy Central. I did not watch it on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, I watched it on, I think it was on NBC. Later on. Like late.
I don't remember that, but probably so.
It was very late at night. And I always fell asleep before it came on. So. But there was a sketch, it was something, it's like supposed to be like a travel commercial, you know, enticing mm-hmm. you to go somewhere, but it's Scott Thompson telling you to come to him. he's like billing himself as though he's a, you know, travel destination. Anyway, it's hard to explain, but he's talks about how taking a dip in the pool of sweat that collects in the small of his back.
Oh, I love Scott Thompson.
Scott Thompson, I think he was probably the most talented. He was just funny.
Mm.
Bruce's sketches were always kind of weird.
Yeah.
You kind of get a sense, especially towards the end, and I guess this happens with any comedy troupe, towards the end it seemed less collaborative
mm-hmm.
and more, you know, you could tell who wrote a sketch,
mm.
you know, where it came from. I had something specific I want to talk about today, but I don't remember.
Oh,
I know what it is.
What is it?
I just remembered. So remember a few months ago, not even a few months ago, might have been last month, I got the sampler.
Yes.
In the mail, and I'm still a subscriber, and this past month's sampler was probably the best I've gotten.
Oh.
In a very long time.
Do you want to tell the boys and girls about it?
I can tell a few things. I don't have it in front of me, so I can't remember everything, but you can go to homeofthesampler.com and click on gallery and look at the November of 06 gallery to mm-hmm. see some of the items I'm talking about. I got this stuff called, it's called Knuckle Balm.
Knuckle Balm?
Balm, B-A-L-M.
Hmm.
And it's in a small little tin. And it's lemon lavender? No. Yeah, it's lemon lavender, I think. Anyway, it's very oily, it's very thick, so it's, you know, for cracked knuckles during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, it is the best stuff in the world.
Huh.
I love it. It's by the company that makes it. It's called, I think it's the Scrub Your Butt Soap Company. And I really like it. This sampler was really good. Like, I got this bacon magnet, which is relevant for this show.
Absolutely. You've done bacon for the day.
I have done bacon for the day. I was so glad I got that out of the way. I got a really nice matted framed, or not framed, but matted picture. I don't know what it is. It looks like a statue or a fountain or something. It's very mm-hmm. pretty. You know, always got, as always, some nice cards, some little charms. One's a little cowboy charm, or cowboy boot charm. What else? There's something really cool in there. Oh, some soap and some lotion. It was a good month for the sampler. Really was. The
cool.
coolest thing I got, I actually have right here in front of me because I was going to work on it last night, but I didn't. It's an artist training card kit. Artist trading card.
What was that again?
Yeah. And it's got little scraps of paper, some yarn, a couple of beads, and just some stuff. Mm-hmm. You make your own trading card.
Hmm.
And it's such a neat idea because you can just have fun. Just, you know, have a hell of a time with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, I think it's a great promotional tool. And it's Robot Pop, that's all one word,
mm-hmm.
.etsy.com.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, I guess it's a she. I'm assuming it's a she, but it might be a he. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
We're not gender stereotypers here on the Schmoovecast. And the seller actually has these kits available for sale. I think mm-hmm. they're like $4 or $5. It's just such a neat idea. So, but the reason why I brought up the sampler was because somebody promoted a podcast on there.
Oh, really?
They included, I think it was an arts and crafts related podcast. So that could be why. There's like the magazines that promote, so that's something we could consider for a promotion.
Yeah.
Shaw.
Shit. I don't think I got that quite right.
Shaw.
Yeah, that's good.
Cha-cha-cha. Damn it, my screensaver keeps wanting to kick in, so I may be cutting out.
There you go. Just a little bit, though.
Okay, well, it should be okay within moments.
Mm-hmm.
So
the wallpaper I have on my computer right now is a tile of the photo of me, you, Stephanie, and Miss R.
I love that picture.
And I do too. And that picture is up because I have decorated for Christmas, and that's a Christmassy picture.
Gosh.
So I have a Christmas tree up, I have some stockings, and I have a smaller Christmas tree as well. Oh, and some pomanders.
Oh, those things. We used to make those in Sunday school, and I never understood them. I was like, this is stupid. This smells bad, and my hands are sticky, and it's ugly, and it's going to rot. My mom threw mine away anyway because it's dumb. And then I forget where I was. I was somewhere. It might have been church. I don't know. Somewhere where they had several of them on the tree, and I finally got it. You know, I understand why people put these on trees. Because they smell so nice.
They smell wonderful. I have four of them right now.
When you're a kid, you're not really into stuff like, you know, cloves and oranges, you know?
Well, I was.
Oh, well. I was not.
Dr. Gay, as a child, was a big old crafty girl.
Have you seen, speaking of Dr. Gay as a child, have you seen Ugly Betty and Betty's Nephew?
Betty's nephew is that her nephew?
Is that her nephew or is it her cousin?
I thought it was her brother.
Is it? Maybe it is.
I don't know. I'm not keeping up with the show, unfortunately. But I do love that character, and I forget his name. But it's so fabulous to have that on TV.
Yeah.
Have that depiction of a young, you know, probably gay boy on TV.
Right. And everybody in the family is just completely
cool with them. And it's so wonderful. I just love it.
Right. I mean, they don't treat him any differently from any other child.
Right, and they don't roll their eyes at him for, I mean, they might because he's a little tiresome, but...
Right, I was going to say, the only thing that, like I said, they react to him as they would any normal child.
Right, exactly.
Any child's going to be over enthusiastic about things.
Right, so they totally react to that, but not for the simple fact that he happens to be effeminate, which is...
Right.
You know, again, it's wonderful. It models acceptance, and we need more of that.
Damn right. Damn right. Bring it on!
So, the Dr. Gay family is coming up to town.
Oh, wow. Tomorrow?
They're coming up on Thursday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to take off from work Thursday afternoon and meet them back over here at my building, and they're going to be staying downstairs in the guest suite.
Really? That's so cool.
It is very cool. And we'll hang out all weekend, and we'll have dinner with Aubrey, and go visit Santa Claus, and probably do a lot of just sort of hanging out in my apartment.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make some lasagna.
Oh.
And it's going to be a good time.
That's good. I bet that lasagna is good.
I bet it will be, too. I haven't made this particular recipe, but I have a good set of recipes from which I work.
So from the the Cooks.
From the Cooks Illustrated.
Dang, that's. I want my own Cooks Illustrated chef. Here in my home.
You could have Christopher Kimball come and be your personal chef.
I'd just move into the guest suite in your apartment complex. But it's pricey.
It's $79 a night, which for a guest suite is not a bad deal.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a whole lot cheaper than a hotel.
And it's basically an apartment.
Nice.
It's all furnished, and the kitchen's furnished, and it's just great. So
if I were to drive up to the Twin Cities, mm-hmm. would they allow me to bring my dog into the guest suite?
Oh, this is a no-dog building.
Why? Why is it a no-dog building? Why? Tell me why. I want to know why. Speaking of acceptance, I want to know why dogs aren't allowed.
I don't know.
Because if you ask me, cats are a lot more destructive.
They are not.
Oh, indeed they are.
Well, wild cats are, but...
No, cats spray and scratch and...
Oh, dear.
Cats are gross and they smell.
Well, the two people who work in the management office are actually cat people, from what I can tell.
Well, whatever.
But I don't think even they set the rules. I think it's just hard to come by an apartment that is dog friendly. There are some downtown. There are actually some apartments that are very dog friendly.
See, I don't understand. Cat friendly, but not dog friendly.
Yeah, it's weird. And actually, this is a great dog neighborhood. Like, I live on the edge of a neighborhood that you can really take your dog on a good walk in. And there's a park up the street you could go romping in. Aww. It's not a dog park, but, you know, it's a park where the dog could run around with you on a leash.
Okay. Denny likes to run around. He's actually laying here with his little head on my leg.
Aww.
And I'm petting his doggy head because he's a sweet boy.
He is a sweet boy.
He is.
Okay. Well,
I think I'm... Mm-hmm.
Oh, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think I'm going to... He's been in his kennel when I've been applying his ointment.
Mm-hmm.
But now that today's the last day of the ointment, I think I'm just going to let him run free. I'm not going to put him in his kennel today.
Born free.
When I go to my crafty in just a minute, I'm not going to do it.
Well, so what I was going to say is I'm going to go read and just sort of be lazy for the rest of the afternoon.
What are you reading?
I'm reading The Sunday Philosopher's Club.
I don't know that.
Which is okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not great. But I started it and I'm pretty far into it. So I got to finish it.
Right.
I think the next book I read is going to be nonfiction, though.
Okay. So. I just was reading a book of a collection of pieces by Roger Ebert spanning his 40-year career.
That's cool.
And, I mean, you know, you and probably most of the American society is used to Roger Ebert as that guy, that big guy on TV
mm-hmm.
who gives thumbs up and thumbs down. But...
Is there more to him?
He is one of the best writers.
Oh.
Like columnists, you know, because that's how he came by his job. He was a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times and mm-hmm. The movie reviewer. And his reviews are just really good. And... just like, you know, totally like awesome. Anyway, sorry, I'm talking like I'm 13. And, you know, I really like his writing. When I write my critiques for my class, I try to write in his style, but I don't think I do too well because his style is really, it's very conversational. And he has a way of writing about movies that you can, even if it's something you've never seen and really don't care to see,
mm-hmm.
he really just brings it.
And, You know, I'm not familiar with his work beyond his reviews.
He's very... one thing I like about him is he's very respectful of cheesy movies as well.
Yeah. So he's not a total snob.
No, he's not a movie snob by any... I mean, he liked Crash, and I'm just going to have to agree to disagree with him on that one.
Yeah.
His Crash is awful. But, yeah, he's got a healthy respect for cheesy movies. He actually wrote... the sequel to Valley of the Dolls.
Oh.
So, that should tell you something.
So, I guess I don't know him. My favorite columnist that I can think of right now anyway is Frank Rich from the New York Times.
I think I've read him.
He's worth reading.
Okay. Well, that's...
I don't routinely read the paper, though. So, I guess the next little bit of news I can share before I go is that I've pretty much made up my mind that I'm going to take Spanish.
Oh, cool.
In the spring, or, you know, starting in the winter, mm-hmm. with, like, January and then into the spring,
right.
Which is actually winter here.
Yeah.
And I think what I can do is share with you a little bit of that as we podcast over time.
See.
And I think it'd be really cool to be able to speak Spanish and then also, you know, work on my French too. And then I could, you know, say that I speak three languages.
Right.
And not be lying.
And not just be, you know.
Not just be making that up.
Whistling Dixie. And then you could learn how to whistle Dixie.
Yeah, which I can't. Which apparently there's something where gay men can't whistle.
Well, but I'm a gay man, because I can't. But then...
Well... You know.
Which, it's, you know, with Denny, I can't whistle to call him over to me, but we've adapted where I can make farty sounds.
And he responds to that.
And he'll respond to farty sounds.
Like, by running away?
No. Oh my gosh. He jumps into line, like, immediately.
He's like, no more of that shit, please.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to sign off here.
All right, well, and have a good day.
Sure, and I'll fix this up and send it on over to you.
Okay.
Wow, that had a cool effect to it, actually.
I was yawning.
Yeah, but there was something more to it.
Oh, cool. I'll be interested to hear it then.
Sort of indescribable. All right, see you later.
Bye.
Bye.